This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 300. It's a miracle!
What is?
That we got to episode 2. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl Gaming Tech Gadget and Anime Podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And welcome to a very special episode of our podcast.
It actually is very special this week.
Our podcast is special every week.
It's like normal special every week, but this is like above beyond normal
every
special.
Every week it is a snowflake.
But some snowflakes are prettier than other snowflakes.
Why are you judging snowflakes?
Because they're the only thing that people never judge, unless there's a lot of them and you can't get out of your fucking driveway.
Touché. Touché.
And that's all fucking snow! But when it's like light and air, you're like, oh, it's so light and happy! Until it causes like death on the highway, and then you're like, fuck that shit!
Again, I say, touché. But you never say fuck that shit about our podcast. Because it's awesome sauce.
Well, sometimes I say fuck that shit. Like, if we're talking about something, I'm like, fuck that topic.
Right, but not the podcast. I'm talking about the podcast
itself.
Oh, no,
I never say fuck that shit about the podcast.
Correct, because the podcast is awesome and special. And this episode is a very special episode. Because it is episode 300 of our podcast.
300, not the movie.
Finally.
This is not Sparta.
No, it's never been Sparta.
This
it's
is actually the land nowhere, of Esh.
It's actually nowhere near Sparta. There are no
Persians. Oh god, if we had been part of Sparta, we would have been chucked off the cliff to die with all the other babies. Wave of babies.
I don't even know how to respond to that comment, so I'm just going to move on. But we do have a very special episode of our podcast because we thought it would make sense for us to actually, on episode 300, kind of look back at where we started at episode 1.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we're gonna go a little MST3K on this shit. We're gonna listen to our very first episode, which I know I haven't listened to this episode probably since the fourth and final time that I actually edited it.
I only listened to it once. During when we recorded it.
Well, yeah, I remember. This episode took us like 3 tries.
Yeah.
Before we finally got it to work. Because at the time we were trying to use GarageBand. And
yep.
It did not. The internet was not cooperative. And the recording was not cooperative. Then there was that one time where we completely missed hitting the record button.
Yep.
Then there was the one that like it broke like halfway in the middle of recording for some reason. And it only recorded your audio. So it was a one-sided conversation. Like, we had.
I mean, that's what my life is essentially like. It's a series of one-sided conversations.
So we went through so many different attempts to get it recorded that at one point we're like, I don't think this is going to happen. Like, I don't think this is meant for us. But we finally got it done. And it damn sure wasn't like a podcast like where we are today. So we thought it would be fun to sit and listen to episode number 1. But we also have some other stuff that we want to talk about as well. But we're going to start by reviewing. So, re-reviewing.
Episode 1,
which was all about
the return to Kingdom Hearts.
Okay, this is Electric Sisterhood, the girl gamer and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Oh my god, I sound like 12.
You sound muffled, like you're talking through a screen.
And this is episode 1, Kingdom Hearts 2.
Oh yeah. Alright, let's get this show on the road.
Yeah, let's get this show on the road, Panda.
I'm so glad we're better.
Yes.
How about the likes, Ninja Sister? What did you like?
Well, let's see.
Oh, wow. We jumped right into that. Like, let's talk about the game.
Yeah, seriously, we were just like, it's time to be about the game.
I didn't have to, like, beg it to not give me a bad angle when I was trying to jump around the joint. I like that it didn't have as many.
Seriously, I sound so young. Do I sound that young on the podcast?
Not anymore, you don't. Now you're like, I'm bitter because I'm 30-ish. Fuck you. It's the truth.
I liked how easy it was just to pick up the game.
I also sound really nasally.
Maybe you were coming off of a sickness. I don't remember.
When am I not coming off of a sickness? True.
Like, let's be honest.
I really needed the magic because you... I didn't really need that. If I just wanted to go and...
What's really funny is, like, we didn't do any pretext in what we were talking about.
No, we were just like, blah, 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 blah.
I just jumped, like, right into gameplay. I'm like, here's what really worked. Actually,
I don't even think
camera
we talked
angles
about the game, like, the name of the time. We were just like, yeah, we're talking about the gameplay of this game that we haven't really mentioned
yet.
Well, because
it was, like, the fourth time we tried to talk about this game.
We were so tired of this game by the time this came out.
By the light cycle race, but there is a light cycle race. And it looks really good. So that was fun. Some of my dislikes. I didn't like how some of the worlds you were fighting the same boss that you were fighting in the first game. Like,
yeah, because they didn't know what they were going to do with the second game.
Guess what? We have to fight Oogie Boogie again. Yay!
Yeah.
Oogie Boogie was an awesome fucking character in The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oogie
he was
Boogie
a great villain.
Character and a great villain, but I was just like...
And fight Jafar.
You do not sound like that anymore, thank God.
I know, I don't.
Yeah, that really didn't...
I did... Well, we did get better mics.
Yeah.
Let's start there. I think I was using, like, a Logitech, like, stick mic.
You were.
At the time.
I really didn't like that. I didn't like that for some things, the game was really...
You know, you also sound like you're not from Boston either. Because you were still down in Virginia.
Dude, I never sound like I'm from Boston because I enunciate my R's.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is, when you were down there, even though you definitely didn't sound like Boston, now, you, when I hear you now through this, you sound like you're like from Virginia.
Okay, but the guy's like, there's only...
Like, you come off a little bit more laid back. Like, yeah, I didn't like this or that. Now you're just like, let's talk about this. Like, you've become so mainstream. Like,
I'm very, very organized.
This dude are laid back trying to figure stuff out. So, like, you sound very laissez-faire right now as I eat cheese.
I'm always laissez-faire.
Not really.
Yeah, I am. You're just not around when it happens.
Unfortunately,
you're only laissez-faire when I turn around and I don't see you.
Exactly. I'm like a ghost in Luigi's Mansion. I creep up on you when you're not looking in my direction.
Which you can.
I like
that's where my laissez-faire comes out.
Oh, okay.
The first three paradox cups, but I guess it turns out that you have to complete them not only as they are, but also with a certain amount of points in order to get the paradox cups. Because I've tried everything. I've gone back into games. I mean, seriously, I have worked.
I don't even remember the paradox cup.
Me either. I'm like, what the fuck,
like,
am,
what
I
the
talking
fuck
about?
Am I talking about?
I'm like, I don't even know what I'm talking about. What are paradox cups?
Because you have to go to Hades to get some of these cups. Nothing to it. My game just won't.
Like,
the challenges of the heroes in the arena.
Oh, in the Coliseum?
Yeah.
Okay.
Those things.
Want this weapon? Not gonna happen.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ninja Sister.
Yeah, it's kind of a
you. Look at that! I totally said sister there, not
so
sista.
I know. And that's wrong, because it's Ninja Sister. I put the on there to make
See,
it easy
if
for you.
Give me an,
I did that for
I put
you.
An er.
I did that for you.
I appreciate that. Because
I knew you were going to say Ninja Sister.
So, the opening song definitely got me by the balls. Now, guys, I don't actually have balls, but you guys get the reference.
Apparently, I've confirmed in episode one that I had balls.
You know, the symmetry of the opening
I don't.
Sequence really
but
got
you
me
confirmed
excited
it in the first
the
episode.
Like,
you led off
yay.
With that. I led off.
This is your first introduction to people. Don't talk with cheese
command.
In your mouth.
I like the
That's rude.
Command.
It's delicious.
You know, yeah, I know it's delicious.
I'm an old school gamer, you know, where you're
This is not the time yet for the cheese and the wine.
Sequences
That's supposed to be at the end of the
combos.
Thing. Why are you eating
but
the cheese plate now? It's because it's out, right?
Yeah.
You can do it, and still could see a bomb-ass move, even if he didn't hit the triangle 3 times in rapid succession.
Mm-hmm.
What I did not like, I'm a slaughterer. I like to go around, I like to slaughter stuff, I like to get presents, and I like to get level. They kind of make that a tad bit tedious. Mm-hmm. You know, they tell you certain bosses, you should be a certain level to fight them.
Mm-hmm.
But even, you know, taking...
Okay, you sound like you're 12, too.
I sound younger than 12.
I wouldn't say nearly impossible, but they make it grueling and tedious and hard.
Right.
And they get you in the mindset where you're going around, you're slaughtering, you're getting XP, you're getting, you know, stuff to, you know, synthesize. And you go to a particular particular level, Atlantica.
I don't even know what you want to talk about there.
I'm inside your mind.
All set up and up is sing-along time. And it really just kind of, you know, you get that whole rush. Yeah, this is exciting. Oh, now let's throw you back a couple of steps and make you use your brain.
Yeah. Are you saying that you didn't like the musical Atlantica world?
Oh
my god, I can now see how people couldn't tell if it was one or two people. We sound,
I know, identical.
Identical.
I just didn't feel like, I don't think you really gained anything from Atlantica being there. Because you don't level up there. And in order to do the songs, you have to level up certain things to do them. But you're not getting anything from them. It's not like, ooh, you get all the excellences and you get something.
Yeah, that's definitely a heavy little...
It's a switch.
Yeah.
It's not a good switch, and I'm turning it off.
In a way, you know, like in some games, you know, you fight a little puzzle, you fight a little while solving a puzzle. That's cool.
That sounds like God of War to me.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind that.
You fight a
but
lot.
To switch me up, I didn't care for it.
Did you play Ghost of Sparta, by the way?
No.
You gotta come down.
Simon.
Because I got it digitally. You gotta play that. I think you would dig it.
I probably would.
Me back a little bit. But, I mean, I
and it's quick. You can run through it in an afternoon.
I still like singing Under the Sea. You know,
no, Little Mermaid. We've had this conversation already.
That was one of the big things I liked from the first game.
Yeah, I can understand that.
I'd say one of my other dislikes is the fact that you don't...
Let me point out a lot of what we didn't like about the game.
We were angry bitches about everything.
I think it was because we recorded this so many times.
We were just angry that we had to repeat it so many times.
Because the first time, as I recall, we were like, I loved this, and this was great, and I... Because it was like, it was the first Kingdom Hearts game that I really completed.
Right.
Because I could play it. Because, you know, as we know, turn-based is not my deal.
They do give you a chance where you're kind of gliding, but it's during
gliding
your last Xemnas battle.
Flying.
But
okay.
You're gliding, and you're pretty much trying to not get killed by Xemnas when you're doing it, so you don't really get to enjoy it. Not to mention buildings are flying at you while you're gliding.
So it's not fair that the buildings got to fly, but I couldn't fly.
Oh, that's true.
Really R. Kelly's song is that I Believe I Can Glide.
Which I did not like. I'd say one of the other things
I believe I can glide. I believe I can touch the sky.
Yeah, that stuff.
Yeah, I was looking forward to hearing Dave Boreanaz. You know, he did a really good job of Leon in the first game. You know, had that nice brooding voice, and it just...
And now I can't bring myself to watch Bones.
Breakfast toast.
Really? Yeah. Everyone's like, you should watch Bones, Panda, and I'm like, yeah, I'll get to it.
You know,
and I still haven't.
I think you would enjoy Bones. But
it's in my instant queue, but I still haven't.
It's definitely grown up Boreanaz, though.
I mean, some people had previous engagements, some people wanted more money, some people just...
More money, more problems.
Mm. I had 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
Bitch is like 5, 29, and 42.
Wow, you got a couple.
Yeah, three in the 99, so I mean, that's not nearly as bad, but I have them.
Right.
I mean, they're shooting the doggone movies. 2 and 3, on top of each other. You mean to tell me, in all that time, while those people are doing their voiceover work for their movies, they couldn't, like, go a studio over and give up an hour?
No, because the pay rates are dialogue? Different.
Apparently.
Evidently. Yeah. I mean, we know that now. Now.
To you guys, your fan base has slightly dwindled.
Yeah, I mean, I was
Apparently not, because Square Enix is still churning out mediocre pieces of junk that people are still buying.
Ready and raring and didn't have to use
like you.
I haven't bought a Square Enix game in forever. You bought me Theater Rhythm, which is not crap or junk.
You bought the 13 game.
13 and 13
too. Uh-huh. Shame.
Sad Panda is sad.
I gotta ask you this question, because I've been dying to ask you.
Alright, go right ahead and ask me.
First couple of times we tried to record this podcast?
I know.
What are we on, like 3, 4?
This is 3.
Third recording.
Or, wow.
Or Roxas.
Ooh. As in, which one do I prefer?
Yep.
It's like, which one would you like to take you on a special lady friend date?
Well, and it's also kind of a trick question, because Roxas, this is going to be a spoiler, so if you haven't played this game...
Oh,
wow, I was really conscious of spoilers in episode 1. Where the fuck did that go?
Where did it go? You're like, here's a spoiler, guys, before I actually say it.
Now I'm just like, blah, 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 spoiler.
Heartless type of complex thing. Get the game so you know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
I don't feel like elaborating.
No.
But I'd have to say, voice actor-wise, I did prefer, Osmond.
Yeah.
He's very sexy sounding.
Not anymore.
Jesse McCarthy, was playing Roxas. And I kind of feel bad because Roxas wasn't supposed to have too much emotion anyway, so that's why his dialogue seemed very dry.
Uh-huh.
So.
Well, that's right, because Jesse McCartney grew up to play Theodore.
How are you going to pussyfoot around it?
To play who?
Theodore from
In the Chipmunk movies.
If I really had to say, I'd probably say Sora.
And I mean, now has that changed?
Around the bush, so much.
I did, to just get there. And believe it or not, Sora really doesn't even do it for me now. It would be Riku now.
In his body, I'd have to stay with him for at least, forever.
At least, forever.
You're hysterical.
Just at least forever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
but, dude, that changed.
Really? I know. Yeah.
Okay, because
now I'm just like, meh.
You kind of get to see Roxas as the nobody Roxas before he ended up at Twilight Town.
You mean the badass Roxas from Orphan Legacy 13?
Yes.
When he told Riku to shut up?
Shut the fuck up, Riku. Okay.
Yeah, he did have his hot moment. This is very true.
Roxas.
Hot? Right. Where? How old am I?
Oh my god, he's hot.
No. Spiky hair doesn't do it for me anymore.
Running around Twilight Town.
Wow, you ran out of the spiky hair, dude? Really?
Yeah.
There, I mean, emotionally, because he is a nobody, he's not emotionally present, so you don't really get too attached to him. I mean, he's kind of got something going on, but you're not sure what it is.
Yeah.
But then you get those flashbacks where he's with the organization and palling around with Axel, and you're just like, ooh.
They ice pops together.
Yeah.
No, they do. In, 300 and blah 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 over 2 days.
358 over 2 days.
Yeah, over 2 days. Like, you see a lot of opening sequences where you see, like, Roxas and Sora. Not Sora. Roxas and, Axel. And they're, like, eating ice pops and talking and having a bromance or two.
Bromance.
I don't know. I would have to agree with you there. I don't know.
I wish they had done more with Naminé. Like, I think that they left her open to be so much more than she was. I know what you were thinking right there, but no.
I don't know. It kind of just looks like an artichoke to me.
It is a glass artichoke.
I thought it looked pretty cool.
See?
Like, when it was forming, it kind of looked like a flower.
I know.
Like a lotus flower artichoke thing. Lotus artichoke!
Okay.
In stores Friday.
In the middle part of the artichoke is a heart, so I'm like, alright, so Sora's in the heart of the
artichoke. See?
Can you understand why I would have the thought?
Yep. And what's my favorite snack when I go to a restaurant? Artichoke dip.
Half the flower chair, I'm just saying, it looks like an artichoke.
Okay. All right,
it's a pretty artichoke.
See, I never played 358 over 2 days.
I got halfway through. Battles.
What is your intake on them?
Much better. Much improved.
Two thumbs up.
Yep, definitely improved the gummy ship stuff. I have to say, I was very, very pleased about that.
I know, I did
gummy ships. Pew pew pew.
I did spend more time on my gummy ship that go.
I didn't. I'm like, you get me to point A to point B. You're like a hatchback gummy.
Hey, don't
too many rockets.
Don't throw in nothing on the hatchback. All right.
So I heard you like gummies. So I built a ship out of them.
I threw some gummies on your gummy ship, so you could gummy while you gummy.
Seemed to me because it wasn't real in depth. It wasn't really involved, and it didn't really feel like a good part of the game.
It wasn't. It was just a transition to get from point A to point B.
It feels like it belongs. You know, like, you shouldn't be able to jump from world to world.
Why not? It makes the game shorter.
Yeah, unless you have travel pipes. Right. So you got transwarp pipes?
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
If you don't have transwarp pipes, you gotta have some place to get from world to world. You can't just dream it. Starships were meant to fly.
They were meant to fly.
You're aiming at, and...
And you can lock on! And you can lock on to enemies this time!
Yeah, locking on. Really, really nice.
High technology! Also seen in Star Fox!
We should play through Star Fox.
I found that I didn't really spend a whole lot of time trying to build up my gummy ships. I just kind of left them the way they were when I got the plans.
Right.
But
who wants to read instructions while playing a game?
As I kept getting better and better plans. So it definitely fits.
You know what else I didn't like about that game now that we bring that up?
Oh, what?
Yeah,
Chip and Dale in that game.
Right.
They were the Chip and Dale before Rescue Rangers, and I've probably talked about it on another show somewhere in the 300 here. But I would have loved for them to have been Chip and Dale from Rescue Rangers and not just Chip and Dale were wacky chipmunks who fuck up Goofy's Christmas.
Wait, but I thought that they were because
No, they had no clothes. They had no clothes and they didn't speak.
I know, but wasn't Gadget involved? With
Gidget?
Yeah, with getting them stuff from the ship?
No. And I loved her.
And if you haven't noticed, with some of the organizations
never noticed
that you actually come in contact with, and then you fight a little bit, and then they go away, the nobodies that they bring with them tend to mimic some attribute to how they fight.
Mm-hmm.
So when you first meet him, he's got nobodies that do the shooting, where you could use your reaction command. That makes you snipe them, you know, and they all do that. All the nobodies, that most of them, except for the Dusks. Dusks are standard, but the specialized nobodies that come around with them have that special attribute, and I think that's just a way to say, hey, pay attention to these nobodies because you're going to be fighting the guy who does this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell I'm getting tired of, like, talking about Kingdom Hearts at this point? I'm like, uh-huh. Yeah, I know, because you said this before the last time that we tried to do this episode.
With the water attack.
Uh-huh.
I think
what? The water attack? Oh, wait.
Your first real battle with them, you know, it's all about timing.
That can be said about 99.9% of all games, and that 1% that
thanks,
it doesn't...
Thanks, blanket statement, Pandalicious.
Do you know that 98% of people who use percentages do it arbitrarily?
The more you know! Because of that, I suggest for all those who are having a hard time with this guy, the guide does give you some excellent pointers.
Yep, because I cheated back then.
Reaction command. I haven't bought a guide since
as much as you possibly can.
Uncharted, the last game, and I've mostly bought the guide just because it was a beautiful book.
The second,
because I didn't really use it for the game.
The last guide that I bought was for Final Fantasy 13 2, only to help me unlock the paradox endings.
And I don't even
so I haven't even opened it yet because I haven't even beat the initial game yet.
Ouch. Extra effort in the nut crunching.
I am an expert nut cruncher.
And I felt kind of bad because when you go and you actually fight him, you know, you get a couple more chances to whoop his butt because King Mickey comes to your fucking rescue.
Really?
Thank you. Yes, he does. If you die, or should I say you get knocked out, because there, no one actually dies in this game.
That sounds like Bleach.
You know, instead of saying continue, it says you won't give up, and then you play as Mickey.
Wait,
and
no.
But if you shut off your console, isn't that you giving up?
That's pretty much it.
Rage quit. This rage quit was brought to you by Chex Mix.
I've never had Mickey come to my rescue.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember what fight you're talking. We're talking about. I don't remember which guy it is.
Comes to mind.
But yeah, you get, and you only get a certain amount of switches. So if you fight him. I don't remember which one he is.
They're trying to get you to level up.
But he uses two swords, but they're, like, not attached, so, like, magical swords. So they can attack you while he's setting himself up. And
you get four chances, with it, and then after that, you continue.
Okay, yeah, and you get four switches between Sora and Mickey. So if you get knocked out, Mickey will be like, I'll help, and then you get to be Mickey with all of his elite moves, but you don't really get the chance to learn them, because you're just slashing until Sora can come back.
He can pretty much beat up Zaldin.
Now, is it Zaldin. That's him.
Zaldin battle?
Just for the Zaldin battle. Oh, see, I didn't die at the Zaldin
battle. Well, you were really better at it than me then.
To do. Oh,
that's
okay.
What happened.
All right, I was about to feel really gypped. See, I didn't die at Zaladin.
Okay, I get it. You're better than me. Let's move on.
You don't like me.
And I kind of like the idea of being able to play as King Mickey, since you're kind of chasing a shadow in the first game.
Right.
And what's up with Mickey, wearing one of the...
Wait, so just the Zaladin battle?
Yeah, that only happened in the Zaladin battle.
Because in the course of the story, that's when you meet back up with Mickey, because Mickey's following you, essentially.
With the evil or anything?
I'm back
in the teacup.
Mostly, he was roaming around the world that never was, so he had on the little trench coat to look like he
This audio is so sharp.
But he definitely got the feeling.
And this is like the best version.
The first couple times you interacted with him, because he was real short with you, he was like, here, I don't have time, you have to take this trench and go.
Actually, you sounded pretty close to Mickey.
I did right there. That's really scary.
Pouch and go, Mickey. Mickey, don't be mad at me. Don't hurt me, Mickey.
Mickey's pissed.
Yeah, I got that same kind of vibe with him when you first interact with him.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a big chunk of dead air.
Radiant Garden.
Radiant Garden.
He's just all normal and sweet and nice.
Dude, like when I have to say, I kind of liked when he totally rips off the coat and then he's got his like badass uniform on.
Yes.
Go Mickey, go Mickey. But anyway.
Okay, well, I've got a question for you.
Shoot, this
witch.
What's really sad is that I didn't actually make it to the ending of the game. I gave up.
System?
Like, I put in so much time, I was like, fuck this game, it's too long, I got other shit to play.
Oh, I beat that game.
So I haven't finished it. I think I still have it in my stack. No, I might have sold it, but I still have the guide.
Oh, okay.
Well, for all those who've never played Devil May Cry 3, I do suggest you pick up this, it's a trio, obviously three, there must be a two and a one. Because it's a really good story, and you can be a badass guy. The form system in that game, they're separate different forms, which you have to equip at a time.
So, man, it was a Kingdom Hearts and DMC 3 game? Apparently so!
Damn!
Royal Guard, where you have a lot of hand-to-hand defense combat. Gunmaster, same, pretty much what you're getting into.
See, this is why we had the, it's a different kind of podcast,
Very different.
No, because you say, like every other,
That's all right. You say more ums than mums.
I'm better at it now.
I know.
Yeah,
So,
and then you have your Quicksilver. Will you move as fast as greased lightning?
Oh my god, I was making those type of references then. Yes.
Okay, I think that's, but you get the idea. Yes. And, as badass as Dante is, and Lord knows he's badass.
Oh, yeah.
The dry form in Devil May Cry is
it's really, what's funny is that, obviously, in this we're talking about Devil May Cry 3.
you know,
and there's only been one game in between that and us talking about it now on the precipice of the prequel coming out. And how funny is that? It's like Fate. It's coming gaming around. Fate. The red coming around.
And if you wanted to attempt to level them all up around the same time, you have that option. So
it was hard to fucking do.
The form system, gotta love it.
Yeah, I have to agree with you guys.
Oh, young Pandalicious was so naive.
Oh, young Pandalicious.
What a dumb bitch you were.
How naive you were. How young.
Select menu and then find the form that you want and then say, yes, I want to equip it, and then equip it, and then go back to the gameplay and not lose where you were in your mode.
All I heard in that was, work, game!
But I do prefer, in the
sparkly design, beverages is what I prefer.
Libations.
How easy it is to level
ambrosia from the gods. Ambrosia. Which is weird, because whenever I think of ambrosia from the gods, I always think of Xena Warrior Princess, because their ambrosia in that series was like gummy bears.
My Valiform
is like, literally, it was, they were gummies.
I know that they had melted. My thing is, whenever I think of ambrosia, for whatever reason, I think of poi.
Basically, in areas that I think which is a lot of enemies.
Yogurty pudding type pineapple thing from Hawaii that I have, but for whatever reason.
The poi!
No, not poi. Poi.
Poi.
Poi.
Poi.
It will level up.
Yeah.
And that's just not happening.
Not everybody likes it, but I love it.
Combos the way that it wants me to or not, but forget about it.
Right. Ugh, I can't stand that anti-star form. It makes me so mad.
Yes. It makes me want to be an anti-ninja sister.
Yeah.
And smack my PlayStation. But I hate my PlayStation. I don't want to hit it.
I don't want to hit mine either.
I love you, baby. I promise I'll never hit you again. Why do you make me so mad? Why do you make me want to hurt you?
Okay, ninja sister. Okay, okay.
All right. I'm sorry. I went to the dark place. Let's come back.
Yes, and we don't need our listeners to hear about the dark place.
No, we don't want to go to the dark place.
No.
You always go to the dark place.
When am I not in the dark place?
They have the best cookies there.
They seriously do have the best cookies.
Really play a part?
And sometimes pie.
Oh.
Pie?
Well, it's not that they don't play a part. It's just, you know, this game gives you a lot to do. And, you know, between, you know, fighting and killing, you know, Heartless and Nobody's getting your XP to level up your forms. Up here come mini games. Up here comes the Atlantica music, you know, rehearsals.
Yes, you know and then, about Atlantica.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, on top of that, oh, look, you have powers to summon. Oh, look, you have magic. Now, I've used some magic, I'm not going to lie, but I don't rely on my magic, and I have yet to even touch my summons.
You don't touch your summons? I've never used magic.
You need to use magic in Atlantica.
Okay.
That's true.
Maybe that's magic! Maybe that's why it wasn't going well for me.
But I didn't have to use it.
Aye.
So I got the items, but I've never fired off a Thundaga or Blizzara or Furadura, Fireraga, whatever the hell it is. Shot.
Well, how the fuck did you get through shit without magic in that game?
I smacked him with my Keyblade!
Get to magic and then see what button.
You were doing it wrong.
I was Leroy Jenkins that game.
Yeah, I barely met dicked around with my summonses because it's all about timing and that.
You had a Keyblade, smack shit.
Yeah. But all in all, what do you say? Recommend it?
I say, you know, if you got the money, go get it. If you don't have the money, steal it.
Don't steal it. Stealing's wrong. Beg
the mom and the dad.
And if that doesn't work...
I still do not condone stealing. No, if something falls into your bag and you get out of it for free, that's just luck.
That's not stealing. That's just fate.
It doesn't get any better, folks. It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Please go out and get this. I beg you. I'm on my knees. I'm literally on my knees begging you. Please, go get this game.
I wasn't on my knees.
You said you were.
If you're a mother, your kids will love this game. You know, if you're a father, you're...
Oh, good. I thought we were still talking about me being on my knees. Your mom will not be disappointed.
Your mom will not be disappointed with me.
I mean, she
your
probably
knees.
Wouldn't be, but that shouldn't be something I should talk about in episode one.
Really. Like, you shouldn't put it out there like that.
Have sex with a hooker and then kill her to get their money back.
Oh, God. Is that from,
How about you just don't fuck hookers, so then you don't have to pay them?
Theft Auto?
That's exactly where it's from. Okay, but, you know, you can let your kid play this game for a couple of hours while you go off and make dinner or go to McDonald's, you know.
You can feed your kids broccoli while letting them play this game.
I can't believe that the first place I went was like, here, put your kids in front of this video game while you get in the kitchen and make them a pie.
Because that's
parenting. So feminist.
That's
about so wrong.
That wife better be wearing a A-line dress with pearls on. And she better be ready for a nice quiet dinner with hubby after the kids go to bed at 8:30.
Play this game. Own the experience. You'll enjoy it.
And then come back and comment to us about how much you liked it. We want to hear from you.
Comment on the site.
No one ever did.
No.
Because we know there are people out there listening.
Not initially.
We don't see you.
Then we got the spam.
We have our ways. We get information. We know you're listening.
I can call Uncle Carmine if I have to.
Don't call Uncle Carmine. He's crazy.
Okay, fine. I'm just saying. I can do it. I can do it.
The thing you do with that pick, that's just sick, man. It's just sick.
I'm just saying, if I have to, I can pull up my phone right now and do it.
Look, it's the reason why he doesn't get invited to the family.
Were you talking, you talking about whipping it out on a first episode
man,
of podcast.
I confirmed that I had a dick that I don't have.
Yep.
I talked about getting on my knees.
Yep. And you said you
I've talked about putting it up brown town, or talking about taking it up the butt.
Yep. And whipping it out. First episode.
I was a dirty, dirty bitch
you
6 years
dirty,
ago.
You're a dirty, dirty girl.
Whatever. We might get them on the blog, but you gotta hit us up. So that number, it's a toll-free number.
It's free!
Oh, God, I remember when we had
oh
the number.
Oh, my God, we put out that's right! We still have the toll-free number. It's just nobody uses it.
At least we know how to spell. Free! I am free. Oh!
Oh, my God, candy bitches. Remember Candy Bitches?
I remember Candy Bitches. And Candy Bitches remember us.
Yep.
Okay, moving on.
I didn't have an Xbox then!
Oh my God!
I
don't know how I existed before
Xbox. Dude, you did not have Xbox!
Because you got me my first arcade.
That's right!
I think a year. In year two.
I don't think that's right.
Holy fuck shit!
You could become famous, sort of.
We could just feature it in the podcast.
Da-da-da!
People would hear that you have thoughts in your head.
Oh, no.
I know, isn't that scary?
That is scary.
And if you don't want to be in the podcast, comment on the blog. Where's that blog at? www.splendidblunder.com/electricsisterhood.html. That's the direct link.
This is before we understood branding.
No, it's because we had Splendid Blunder, which was going to be a completely different project, and then it didn't work out, so we ended up doing the Electric Sisterhood podcast off it. Because remember Splendid Blunder, we were into GarageBand a bunch?
Yep.
And so we were going to make music. I was going to start a track, you were going to finish it, and we were going to put it and post it out on the web.
No.
And so it was going to be a Splendid Blunder.
That's bad. I like two lines of this. Not use them to put my macaroni on the cake. Yeah.
You know what I like to use? Put my macaroni on the cake.
I can't hear what we're saying at all.
And I'm sure people listening were like, what are they talking about?
Alright, that's it. Electric Sisterhood. Done. I'm Ninja Crystal.
And I'm Candelicious.
And we'll be coming to you in another week with another funny person of the project.
What did you say?
I don't even know what I said there.
Cuddly-wuddly timey-wimey?
I have no clue what I said there. But what's really funny is, like, I have no idea what we said all the way out. We didn't do candy bitches yet. We didn't do toast.
Nope.
It didn't exist. It was just literally us
talking at each other for 30 minutes.
For 30 minutes. Well, 37 minutes.
Which is what we do in our everyday lives now, but...
We talk for a half hour a day, and then
we talk more than that, but we're far more eloquent now. We are in better places in our adult lives.
I say fuck way more in the podcast.
I have an Xbox now.
Yep.
I do not have a penis.
Nope. Well, she didn't have a penis then either.
My on-the-knee skills are,
we're not
private.
Gonna talk about that. We're not gonna talk about that.
They're private.
We're not gonna talk about it.
And, yeah.
It's so weird to listen to us back then, now, because
we were so young.
Serious, we were so fresh. Like, I had no idea where that episode was really gonna go.
Like, it seemed like, with your pitch and your tone... Then, like, I know for the first, like, I think for the first year, because I sounded so young, that you might have been, like, trying to lighten your voice up so that you sounded as engaged as I did. Because at that time, I think when we started getting people who were, like, noticing, they were like, Panda's so awesome! Panda's so this! I mean, I know for...
I wasn't trying to be you.
Really? Because there's a couple of episodes back in the past that would say otherwise.
No, I mean, we went through a bunch of different things. I mean... Panda, I love you, but it's not all about you, Gu. But, there were a couple of episodes where I tried to be funny and not the straight man.
Right. But and now just, you realize where your place is.
It went, bitch, don't start with no role. Okay, we can go there all day long. But no, seriously, like, there were a couple of episodes where I was trying to figure out if we could both be funny... If somebody needed to, like, wear the pants of the relationship or not.
Well, you can totally wear the pants.
And so, to be sitting here recording episode 300 is, like, such an achievement to me.
Achievement unlocked.
Knowing where, how many times, really, we were close to that, like, being the end of the project. Especially when you and I had that massive fight
and
I didn't want to talk to you.
Yep.
And so I would literally not accept your Skype calls until we had to record the podcast.
Yep, I remember.
We'd get through the podcast and I would immediately disconnect.
Yep.
For like half a month. It was almost a month, actually.
Yeah, I know.
That happened.
I remember dark times. Yep. Bubonic plague times.
You know, but we got through that and, you know, here we are recording episode 300. And it's been a really interesting and cool 6 years. And to be here doing this right now, it's awesome to me. Like, all of that. Is a huge, huge accomplishment, and I am so proud of all the team members that we added, all the new sites that we launched. You know, we went from being Splendid Bonder to Electric Sisterhood to the network and having Boston Bash Brigade as part of the family, Geek Aggro as part of the family. You know, we are getting ready to add another member of the family finally, officially, to the roster, but as you know, the issues... Guy is family, and we're going to get their site launched here pretty quickly, if I can just finish these graphics, finally. But we'll have them up and running. Obviously, we've got the magazine. I mean, we've got an amazing amount of things to come out of literally our little conversations each week about video games and anime. So it's really cool to be here at this point. And I wish that was the note that we were going out on, but unfortunately there's been some sadness in the community that we absolutely have to address. I feel it would be inappropriate for us not to address it. As I'm sure everyone listening to this podcast is well aware, there was I don't even want to say tragic, because tragic doesn't describe it. It was horrific. And really devastating, and to me, on a personal level, disgusting event in Aurora, Colorado, that has left, I think the final count right now is 12 people dead, 71 people
injured.
Injured. At the midnight showing launch of the Dark Knight Rises movie. A very disturbed individual opened fire
from the back of a theater.
From the back of the theater.
So obviously everyone who was hurt and or killed was not aware of what was happening because of his position and placement.
But opened fire with shotgun. Killing an a bunch of individuals.
Yep, and two of the dead are children.
Yep.
One was only, like, 3 years old, and one was, like, several months old, so, like, they were very young children.
It is such a disturbing act for me because, you know, the, I'd say, alleged shooter, because he hasn't been convicted of anything yet.
But they're not looking for any of the suspects. They're not they looking for any of the suspects. They have a high probability rate, correct. A high cause rate to link him.
But to dress up the way that he did, to go into the theater with, we have yet to know exactly what the intention was, because there are some stories that are out there saying that the shooter first was shooting into the air as if to scare people, and so some people thought that it was, you know, a skit that they were doing before the launch. But it is really disturbing to me to see how an event that really for our community was going to be probably fun and enjoyable.
People were so waiting for this to happen, and like it scares me. Because, you know, if something this big, you know, that could garnish that type of, you know, interest for the common person, you know, all someone has to do is essentially what this guy did is wait out for a big buzz builder like that, some big event.
Well, I mean, here's the thing you have to understand. It's very similar to what happened with the World Trade Center. Once something is done this one way, immediately people are going to put things into place that will not allow it to be that way. So I think what you will start to see is for midnight launches of your summer blockbusters, a heavier presence of police.
Yep.
You know, you already see when you have summer blockbusters for the opening week, you see more police in the movie theaters to keep people from sneaking into the movies.
Yeah.
I think what you'll start to see now because of things like this, that you will either lose the midnight showing, or distributors who opt to do a midnight showing
will have to have a guarded additional presence.
Correct. For when they do them. So they'll be structured differently now because of this.
Right.
You know, it's just like security at the airport now is structured differently because of 9/11. So you'll see structure different. There'll be changes to how midnight movies are launched. I don't know that that's necessarily for the good, for better or for worse, but it will happen. So,
well, I mean, I think it's a double-edged sword because obviously seeing the added presence might fill some people with some ease, but then, you know, in the back of the mind, it's like, wow, we actually had to resort to
this because
having to fear possible, you know,
physical harm for going to a movie.
So it's like I'm comforted by the security, but I'm scared that they had to raise
it. And there are already people that are trying to make the connection to violence in movies, desensitizing people so that, you know, people can do this kind of harm. And I, once again, I have to say that I do not agree with that statement. This is just my personal opinion, but
neither do I.
I don't feel that violent movies or violent video games desensitize a person to be able to devalue life in a way that they can
attack people like this. I think lack of awareness.
I believe that it is an individual by individual
case
of what has affected someone to allow them to devalue life. It's not a learned behavior. You don't learn to completely devalue life. Something in you has to be there to make you go, this doesn't matter. Whether that's a situation that has happened that has caused you to, if you were a person of faith, to lose your faith, or if you, you know, have had something dramatically tragic happen in your own life to desensitize you to or devalue those things. I believe that can absolutely happen, but, you know, I've watched all kinds of violent movies and played all kinds of violent video games. I have, in my entire life, only ever been in 5 fights, like physical fights with people. 3 of those were in elementary school where I was defending myself. One of those, I will honestly say, was because there was a lot of alcohol involved, and I was at a frat house. And the other one was because I felt that I was going to be done physical harm if I didn't defend myself.
I have never been in a fight.
But only two of those fights actually ever happened after the age of 16. So I've been playing and been exposed to violent content much longer than that.
Yeah.
So you will not convince me that just being exposed to violent content
makes you a violent person. Or
hypersexualized content makes you either of those things. There are other things that work within a person that allow them to do those kinds of things. And so I would strongly urge everyone and anyone that if you get into those conversations or you hear those types of things happening, that especially on social, because there's been a lot of conversation on social media about this, that you join the conversation and you lend your voice to the conversation, because there's definitely a need for some pieces of sanity in there. I was really actually happy to see the president actually speak about what happened. I thought that was really important as a nation for us to acknowledge everything that was going on, and from that level to be engaged with it was really reassuring a little bit for me. But I will say that it did affect my movie-going experience this past weekend. You know, originally I had intended to see a midnight showing of the movie, and some things happened that didn't allow me to do that. And so I then made a backup plan to see it on Sunday. And after all of this happened, not that I was worried that there was going to be another incident of violence at any of the movie theaters that I would go to see the movie, but frankly, I imagine that one of two things was going to happen. Either more people were going to try and see the movie who hadn't originally intended to see the movie in order to show their solidarity and show some kind of support for Chris Nolan and the movie itself and go out, and so it was going to be very crowded and very difficult to go in. Obviously, movie theaters across the nation said that they were instituting higher levels of security for the movie, which meant I would have to get there much earlier than I normally would to go and see the movie, which would take some of the enjoyment out of it, you know, because when I go to a movie, I enjoy kind of getting there about 25 to 30 minutes before the movie goes off, getting some popcorn, getting my concessions, taking my time,
playing the games on the screen.
Every once in a while, I'll go into an arcade if the arcade's good enough, but, you know, getting in, picking my seats, because I like to sit high and in the back. Typically for blockbusters, if that's going to happen, you got to get there like hours early, because you're going to be in a queue line to get in, and then once you're through the queue line, you know, you send the hubby off to go and get the concessions.
Well, those of us who have hubbies.
Yep. Or your friend. Somebody makes the run. Somebody makes the run on a blockbuster weekend. So you pick somebody from your team.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoots.
Exactly. And somebody goes and gets the goodies for everyone. But I just felt like that the experience that I enjoy wasn't going to be there, because there was going to be all kinds of security you were going to have to go through. There are a bunch of theaters that have now said that they're going to crack down on what kind of cosplay they will or will not allow into a movie. So, for instance,
I don't think anyone's going to be able to walk up as Bane anymore.
Nobody's going to be able to walk in as Bane. I think that we all have to be adults, and we have to go, this was an isolated incident. It's absolutely horrific. And again, I personally, disgusting to me. But we have to look at it for what it is and understand it for what it is and not try to make it anything other than what it is, which is the act of
one man.
Single disturbed individual. We just have to understand that and respond appropriately to it. So I urge you all to do that. On behalf of the entire team here at the Land of Esh, I just want to say that our thoughts and our prayers are with the family and friends
of all those involved.
Of all those involved in the event. I know that there are a couple of organizations that are already putting together donations for the Denver Red Cross. So if you are so inclined, I encourage you to make a donation to help the Red Cross support and help all the medical efforts
that are going on right now in Denver. You know, our community gathers together and supports each other and like no other community that I've ever seen. So I know you all are trying to figure out how you can help, but I will make sure that we include the link to the Denver Red Cross page so you can make a donation if you so choose to help, or just to, again, join in those conversations when you see them going the wrong direction. Just add a little bit of voice of reason. It goes a long way. So that's really all I had about that.
Yeah, you pretty much spoke to my side too, so.
Every once in a while I'm eloquent like a motherfucker.
Yep.
But episode 300, we started where we began. I think that's a really cool look back. If you want to dive through that, which is the 300.
I wouldn't recommend it. Just kidding. I would not delve in from episode one.
No, like, dude, we've had people that went back to one to catch up. God bless their little hearts.
Yeah.
You
guys should get an achievement. Several, actually.
Some kind of goodie. I don't know what it is, but wow. No, but seriously, I mean, the whole adventure, we wouldn't be the podcast we are today without episodes 1 through 299.
Yes, that is an accurate statement.
So I'm just saying, if you want to go on the journey, or you want to pick up on the journey at any point in time, just hit us up at our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or use our short address, which is
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. The short address will bounce you to the long one. You can check out any articles that are written within the week. All questions and comments should go to our Facebook fan page, Land of Esh. We didn't meet our 300 mark for the 300th episode, which makes me a very sad panda. I might have to put a picture of sad pancakes up on the site and on Facebook.
Sad pancakes.
For like the next week because of how sad I am.
Pandalicious.
However, if you...
As I said.
Yeah, but you can find our podcast on the iTunes podcast application that you can go and put on your cell phone, so now you have no excuse, absolutely none, to not listen to our show there.
And if you don't want to listen to our show in the iTunes podcast app or through the Microsoft Marketplace where you can subscribe by searching out Electric Sisterhood and hitting the subscribe button,
then you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, you should look for the other shows who happen to hang around us sometimes.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh. While we typically release our podcast episodes popping fresh on Mondays, you can follow it up with the Testosterone to Our Estrogen Boston Bass Brigade on Tuesday with new episodes from their show, which is co-hosted by our homeboy, King Baby Duck. On Wednesday, you can follow that up with an episode of the Geek Agro Podcast, which is more nerdy needs, gadgets, gizmos, aplenty, hosted by our homeboy, Deuces Wild. For the rest of the week in your nerd needs, we have all the different things that we write, which you can find on our website, but if you want to read them as soon as they are published on the interweb, then you want to check out our page over at egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. Become a fan of the page and get notified as soon as we put up new content there, because if we're writing it, first and foremost, you'll find it over at egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. There's all the stuff that we talk about, at answer questions, post funny things that we like on the web, as well as links to our published articles over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh, which you can also see some of the things that we're tweeting about from. You can find everyone who makes up the Land of Esh or contributes in some way to our gloriousness on Twitter by looking at my list on my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and check out the Land of Esh list. Panda, what shit you digging this week?
Toast.
Aww. You know what?
I was about to say, I think
I'm gonna dig that too. And I think just for this week, this podcast is toast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out of here.
See you guys in the next 300.
Are you enjoying this?
Yeah, this is funny.
So weird.
It's so weird to hear us back then. But Michelle, it's been like, what, six years now?
Yeah,
six years.
So a couple months.
So, like, literally, I was just possibly turning 21.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's been 6 years.
That'd be 22. So you were 21.
I was a young, hopeful kid in college with big dreams. Oh, the shame.